in your all-powerful name. Bless these children, each one, and keep them each in your blessed care. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Right now, the primary class for Church Life would like to share what they'd been learning this quarter. They've journeyed through the first two books of the Bible, Genesis and Exodus. And as they learned, they were learning how they had to rely on faith, you know, faith and trust in God. And as they were learning, they were learning that they had to trust God no matter what happened in their life, no matter what happened, and to keep trusting and keep going forward. Well, the children have practiced two special songs they wanted to share with you. So they practiced basically two quarters these songs. So we thought, they would really like to share them with you. But first we have one child that would like to share a memory verse, and this is Mabuki.
Redeem, trust in the name of the Lord, and rely upon his God. Isaiah 50:10.
Okay, and now they'd like to sing the books of the Old Testament. How many of you know the books of the Bible? Okay, it's good to learn through song too, and the kids have learned the books of the Old Testament through song for the past two quarters, and they'd like to share that with you. About trusting God through the first two books of the Bible that we've covered this past two quarters, they learned a song to trust him even more, that everything is in his time. We sometimes try to get ahead of God, I know I have, and things don't work out so well. So we need to learn that in his time. So that's the song they were going to share with you today. And on the last verse, it's going to be up on the board, up there. So if you could sing the second verse with the children. So sing the second verse with the children. Okay, thank you.
He makes all things.
Let's all get to know the author of the book or the Bible and just trust in him and wait on his timing. Thank you very much.
Can we sit down now?
Yeah.
Now it's time for our morning prayer. If you have a blue card that you filled out, bring it along with you as you come up and as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. As they're coming up, several people have asked this morning, how many kids did you have enrolled at Vacation Bible School? 63. And there was only one night that we were below 40. So that's why we're a little tired. But we've had a great time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. We have had a very interesting time and a very loving and outreach time during our Vacation Bible School. But this morning, Lord, we want to again come to you as the Holy Sabbath day to worship you. This morning, Lord, too, as we think of the many things that are going on in the world around us, we want to rely on you, and as we have already heard, that we need to study our Bibles to know exactly what you have a plan for each of our lives. This morning, Lord, we think of the people that are on beds of sickness. You know each one of those. Also those that have lost loved ones. We ask that you will come very near to them. And Lord, even if we have not filled out a blue card, we know that each one of us have prayer requests, and we ask that you will answer them in the way that you know is best, and give us patience and faith that we know that you are in control of each of our lives. And we ask now that you will help us as we go through this church service, that we may each one learn more of how you can love us, and that how we can reach out to others and work for you, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Our offering today goes to Broken Arrow Ranch, and this is another way that we can encourage our young people to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Since 1970, Broken Arrow Ranch has provided the Kansas-Nebraska Conference with a safe place to learn more about Christ. During the summer ministry program, Broken Arrow provides a safe environment away from the noise of the world where young people can grow in their relationship with Christ through intentional programming and activities designed to teach young people to see Jesus in every aspect of life. Throughout the year, Broken Arrow offers the Kansas-Nebraska Conference a quiet place for church retreat or a school function. Generations of young people have come through Broken Arrow Ranch, many of whom have become staff members. As adults, they send their own children to experience a week at this Christ-centered summer ministry. We look forward to ministering to your family too. Studies show that more than 70% of the individuals who make their decisions to accept Christ ages 9 to 14 at summer camp remain committed Christians throughout their lives. Sending your children or grandchildren to summer camp is an investment to make in their eternal life. If you don't have children or grandchildren, your offering today is a selfless investment in eternal life for hundreds of young people. Thank you for giving generously to support the operation of Broken Arrow Ranch. We will likely never know on this earth the effect of our offerings, but someday in heaven we'll have the joy of meeting those who found Jesus because of our faithfulness. The deacons come forward for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that we can bring Your tithes and our offerings to Your storehouse. Be especially with the offering today for Broken Arrow Ranch, that it will continue to provide opportunity for us to help our young people develop a relationship with You. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's a good day Lord has made. Amen? And do you know those moments when I was so touched with those little voices when they sang here, especially that song, It Is In Your Time. I mean, I feel like I need to bring them back and sing that as a special music. I'm deeply touched, and young people, keep singing. Music is very powerful. Amen?
The Lord has done so much for me. Now I praise Him day and night. He was one who saved my soul. Now I'm free. The Lord has done so much for me. Now I praise Him day and night. He was one who saved my soul. Now I'm free. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He is coming back for you. Are you ready to go with Him when He comes? Jesus Christ is coming soon. He is coming back for you. Are you ready to go with Him when He comes? Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Same thing can be done for you if you only trust in Him. If you invite Him in your soul, He will come. Same thing can be done for you if you only trust in Him. If you invite Him in your soul, He will come. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Oh, what a joy that will be. What a joy that will be. What a joy when I see my Lord. Oh, oh, oh,
good morning, happy Sabbath. Today's scripture is Mark 10:45, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to try to get my computer up and running here. It just died on me. And while I'm waiting for that to work out, my message today, Inconvenienced for the Gospel. And when was the last time you were inconvenienced by something? I remember some specific instances. Like right now, I'm inconvenienced, but now I think I got it up and running here. Last year, I went to Israel, and in Israel, you know, I was going to have a good time there with other pastors. There we go, now it works. And I arrived in Israel, and I think I may have shared this with some of you before. I arrived there, and I didn't get my suitcase. It was left behind in the United States. I shared this story with the kids in Vacation Bible School this last week. So I was very inconvenienced for 2 weeks without a suitcase. The suitcase that I didn't get, that I didn't have, it arrived on the last day when I was about to go back to the United States. And so I had these shoes. You might wonder, why is the pastor wearing such worn-out shoes? Well, these are the shoes that I was wearing. And the only shoes for the 2-3 weeks that I spent in Israel, walking up mountains and down hills and all over the place through the city of Jerusalem, these shoes went with me. I was inconvenienced, but it was a blessing too. Because, you know, I don't think Jesus had too many clothes. He didn't have a suitcase full of clothes traveling here that he traveled with. And so I kind of felt a little closer to him in the sense that I had to wash my clothes every day and use the same shoes all the time. You know, I like my daily conveniences. How about you? Things like clean water. Things like heat in the wintertime. Air conditioning in the summertime. Online shopping. How many of you like to go shopping on Amazon or eBay or something like that? Yeah? A smartphone. The world at your fingertips. Now that's a convenience for this day and age. A car. A laptop. Now these kinds of things make life easier, more convenient. I look forward to a daily routine that allows me to be with people whom I enjoy being with and spend time, maybe some time, browsing the web during the day, some time reading, some time writing. I just love not being inconvenienced. Now, maybe you have additional conveniences or routines on your list. Some of you may be sitting down in a comfortable chair with the remote control after a long day at work. For some of you, it would be checking social media for the very latest. Spending time on your favorite hobby. And a thousand more things. And that's why the Word of God can seem to be such an interrupter. You see, navigating life in light of the kingdom of God can be quite challenging. Because we are naturally creatures of comfort. But the Word of God calls us, for the sake of the gospel, to be strategically inconvenienced. As human beings, we tend to think self first and others last. So it doesn't come natural to allow ourselves to be strategically inconvenienced. But then, you know, we are introduced to the Word of God. We're introduced to Peter and Paul and Mary and Ruth and others in the Bible. And then to Jesus, of course. And Jesus instructs us in what it really means to be a kingdom citizen. And he showed us the most significant demonstration of self-sacrifice. Jesus laid aside his rights and his privileges as God to become a human being. And part of that becoming a human being was forever and ever. He lost something forever and ever. And he did this for the sake of the kingdom of God. He was willing to be inconvenienced so that God would be glorified and people like you and me would be blessed. So are you willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel? For the sake of advancing the kingdom of God? Is that a fair question to ask a Christ follower? The fact that God calls me to serve and to give spontaneously and systematically to precious people who need a Savior. You know, that is a fact that each one of us may want to look at and take to heart. to serve and to give to people, to precious people that need a Savior. And God has called you and me to do that very thing if we are Christ followers. You know, my inconvenience is nothing compared to loving a soul to Jesus. Listen to just a few of Jesus' commands to us. You know, Jesus talks in the Gospels about what our job description is. And he says in John chapter 4, verse 35, he says, look at the fields that are already white to harvest. He had a concern for people, had a concern for the potential harvest out there. In Luke 10, verse 2, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, that's a specific challenge to you and me as Christians, because there are plenty of workers, that just not many have realized it. And then the final words of Jesus before he went back to heaven, before he turned over the reins to his disciples for taking the gospel to the world, what were the final words of Jesus? He said, you shall receive power. This is Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power and you will be my witnesses. It's pretty clear what my calling is. But not just mine, not just the pastor's calling, what your calling is. We're called to be witnesses. To serve God and our fellow human beings, leading them to Jesus. But here is the key. The kind of service God is looking for in His people is the kind that serves God by constantly receiving from God. You're serving Him by receiving from Him. Now, Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4, 7. Peter addresses this very thing. And he says there that whoever serves, let it be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So he wants us to serve Him moment by moment, receiving from God's supply. In other words, you can't give what you don't have. You can't serve unless you have been served by Him. You cannot give unless you receive from Him. In other words, you shall receive power. That's what He said. You shall receive power. He's speaking to me here. Birger, you shall receive power. And without that power, whatever you say, whatever you do, is going to be useless. You shall receive power. The real question is this. Are you and am I willing to be inconvenienced for the gospel? What price am I willing to pay that others may come to Jesus Christ? There is an intriguing story found in Mark chapter 2. I want to invite you to go to Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at the first 12 verses. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read it entirely through here before a few comments on it. Talking about Jesus, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. And so here we have this story. We have Jesus arriving in the little seaport town of Capernaum. And soon a large crowd from the surrounding areas, from the countryside, gathered together inside and outside of this house where he was staying. It wasn't a big house, a small house. I've been to Capernaum today. I mean, last year, I went there last year. It's a small town. There's a big synagogue, and then there are some few houses around it. That's pretty much it. I mean, we're talking about a town with hundreds of people. And this house may very well have been Simon Peter's house because this was his hometown. It stood facing the Sea of Galilee, just in front of that Jewish synagogue where Jesus had driven a demon out of a man just a few days earlier. And that event spread like wildfire in the surrounding communities, and people came together. So there in this house, on top of the roof, while Jesus is talking to this crowd of people gathered there, dirt and debris started falling down from the roof where he was standing. It fell from the roof. You know, I've been to Israel, and I've heard about also the kind of houses they had back then, and it wasn't an easy thing to undo the roof. There would be some dirt falling down while this was happening. And I can just imagine Jesus must have smiled when he looked up to the roof being torn away. Everyone present must have noticed what was going on above them. There was an interruption taking place. Maybe a little bit amusing even. Here's a man lower down right before Jesus. He was in the middle of his sermon. This man lower down from the ceiling in the middle of his talk. Now, I imagine there was a smile on Jesus' face, but also a look of deep compassion. Here's a man lying not on a bed as we think of as a bed, but on a rug with a rope tied to each corner of that rug, an improvised gurney, if you will. That was the type of bed they had, the rugs. You know, this story is filled with people who were willing to be inconvenienced. There is, first of all, the inconvenience to Jesus. He was in the middle of an important talk when he was interrupted by the sight and sound of falling dirt and plaster. Of course, helping people was always more important to Jesus than preaching a sermon. He put action to his words. He stopped, he bent over, and he ministered to this spiritually starving man, and also this physically sick man. Actually, Jesus overlooked his physical needs temporarily to meet the greater spiritual need of this man, the forgiveness of his sins. Jesus did not immediately address the man's physical paralysis. Before he did that, he started with a spiritual analysis, if you will. And then as a confirmation of his authority to forgive sins, he healed the man on command. Sometimes he heals from a distance, sometimes up close. Sometimes he healed people by touching them. Sometimes he healed people that had physical infirmities. Sometimes he drove out demons. Just imagine if Jesus had not been willing to be inconvenienced. There was also the inconvenience to the man's four friends. They could have found a good reason to give up on their attempt to get this man to Jesus. They could have said, well, you know, it's a little too crowded today. Or Jesus is too busy. Oh, we'll come back another time. They could have said, it's too difficult to remove the roof in this hot sun. It's just too hot. They could have chosen to go fishing or golfing or take their wives shopping. No, I can't imagine any man taking his wife shopping. But anyway, you know, two of the three. No man who would be facing something like Jesus faced right there and then would do exactly what Jesus did, because we are easily inconvenienced. There is also the inconvenience to the owner of the house, and that may have been Peter. I believe it's safe to imagine that these four men may have asked Simon Peter ahead of time for permission to take his roof off. I mean, at least that's what would happen in today's world. You don't just take people's roof off. I mean, in the biblical homes there in Palestine, there was usually an outside staircase that would lead up to the roof, and that's where people would be spending their evening hours. And Peter could have asked, who is going to replace my roof? He could have counted the cost and the inconvenience. He could have said no. And there's one final person inconvenienced that we need to mention, and that is the owner's wife. After all, she had opened her home to this meeting. What more could anyone ask? They may have to rearrange the furniture to make room for all the people in that home. Wasn't she inconvenienced enough? All the furniture had to be moved around, and who was going to clean up all the mess from the ceiling, the stuff that had fallen down? Now, let me ask you this morning, and let me ask myself, are you as concerned for your friends and your family to get the spiritual help that they need, or the physical help that they need, as these four men were that we mentioned earlier? Do you have the faith of these four men in this story to believe that Jesus can make a huge difference in the lives of people that you care about? Would you be as persistent as they were to get such a person to Jesus? Can it be said of you that you would be willing to be inconvenienced in order that someone might come to Jesus? Will you risk being rejected by inviting others to come to church? Would you be willing to be inconvenienced by bringing someone to church who didn't have any other way to get here but that you would bring them? How about inviting a friend or a relative, someone from work who has expressed an interest in spiritual things? Now that sounds pretty inconvenient, doesn't it? Would you be willing? Maybe it has been inconvenient for you to bring your own children to Sabbath school on time, not to mention yourselves. How about the inconvenience of bringing your children to our church school when the new church school starts? Would you be willing to take on that inconvenience of driving across town or having somebody drive your children across town to the church school for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your children? Are you willing to take on the inconvenience of giving your talents and your service to God? Would you be willing to turn your home into a Bible study once a week? You know, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, the truth is that there was one that was willing to be inconvenienced so that you can be saved. Jesus gave up his throne in glory. He gave up as a ruler of the universe. He gave up everything that he had in order to come to earth and pay the ultimate price to rescue you from the wages of sin, which is eternal death. Now, someone in your immediate past or your far past was a person who was willing to be inconvenienced that you might be here today. And I can tell you from personal experience, there is no greater joy and no greater love than to lead someone to Jesus. I want to share with you just three short quotes or statements from Ellen White. The first one is in Christ Object Lessons, page 361. And it says, and I don't have it on the screen, you may wonder why the screen isn't moving. Well, we only have two slides today. This is the last one. It says, our reward for working with Christ in this world is the greater power and wider privilege of working with Him in the world to come. Here's another one from Christian Service, page 266. It is not a vain thing to serve God. There is a priceless reward for those who devote their lives to His service. And on the same page, it says, every sacrifice that is made in His ministry will be recompensed according to the exceeding riches of His grace. So God wants to reward you for your inconveniences. And that reward is eternal. It's eternal. Now, before I conclude my message this morning, I want to do something a little different. I want to invite some of you to come up here. And so I'm going to invite certain groups of people to come up here. And then I'm going to start with the fact that we have a new year now of service officers in the church that have been elected. Last Sabbath they were elected. And I want to invite the leaders, the department leaders, to come up here at this time. If you are a leader for a department in the church, come up here. Also, if you are a ministry leader in the church, I want to invite you up here at this time. If you're a leader for a ministry in the church, and then I also want to invite a third group to come up here, and that is the new officers. If you are in a new office, it doesn't matter if you have had an office before, but if you have a new office this year, please come up here. And I like to ask you a few questions. I want to start with our head deacon. We have a new head deacon this year. And why don't you come over here, Marvin? Marvin Marching, our new head deacon. Marvin, this is a microphone. It's not going to bite you. So let me ask you, you said yes to be the head deacon this year. This is your first time here in this church as a head deacon. Why did you say yes?
Well, because there was a need in that position.
There was a need. Okay, so you said yes in order to make sure that the church is functioning. Share with us, what does a head deacon do?
Well, the main things the head deacon does is they see that the building, take care of the building and see that it's in good repair. The grounds looks nice. See that people can get in if there's bad weather, get the snow moved, see that people can get into the church.
Now, when you do that, when you see to that, that means you're involving other people, right?
Right.
You do it all yourself? No.
No.
Okay, so you're a good head deacon. You're involving the other deacons.
Right.
So what you did now, you just described the deacon's role, correct?
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to ask Diane, are you here? Now, you are the head deaconess, and you've been a head deaconess for some time here
yes.
in this church. So what do you, why did you say yes another year? I mean, after all, you were thinking of
quitting.
Okay.
But I was asked again, and I thought, well, I have to help some way.
I have to help some way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is your role? What do you do?
Usually the deaconesses help with communion and baptisms and monitoring the church, just in whatever way the church needs us.
Okay.
We're helpers.
All right. Mm-hmm. So again, the deacons and deaconesses, they're kind of like the oil in the machinery of the church in a sense. Aren't they?
Yes, I believe so.
When they're functioning
so.
Well.
Yes, when we function well.
They're kind of in the background, kind of the invisible
yes.
oil that keeps the machinery going.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I'd like to ask the Sabbath school superintendent up here as well. We have a number of Sabbath school classes, and now you are the superintendent for the adult and the children's Sabbath school classes.
That's right.
And so what is your role? And why did you decide to be a Sabbath school? Why did you decide to accept that role again?
I guess I just have a burden to see that the Sabbath schools are functioning well, because that's, especially for the children and the adults, that's a growing and a learning time. And
so you want them to function well because...
That's where we learn.
Okay, so you care kind of about people learning.
Study. Yeah.
All right. And do you have a good team?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how are you going to be working together? Well, you're going to meet with the Sabbath School Council and so forth?
I have to meet with the Sabbath School Council.
Okay.
And meet with, I actually am over the superintendent's team.
All right. Now, I'm not going to invite all of you to speak, but I would like to ask a couple of ministry leaders to come forward. Let me see. We have so many ministries here. Veronica, why don't you come here for a moment and share with me, first of all, what ministries are you involved with? Or are you not involved with? What ministries are you leading?
God's Closet.
Okay, God's Closet.
It's really hard to say, because to me it's what you describe. It's just life of the church. I mean,
so why are you doing what you're doing?
One, because God has called me to do so, and because He's given everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if I didn't appreciate the message that was given so much in the title and understand the meaning of this title, I would actually be offended by the title, because we do tend to be. We tend to treat service for God as an inconvenience, mm-hmm. when it's the greatest privilege ever.
Absolutely. And in fact, I have a feeling that Jesus was not inconvenienced.
That's right.
The four men were not inconvenienced,
right.
But in the eyes of the world, they were.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so do you find joy in ministry?
I love it. I can't imagine a greater act of service. I've worked for man, and I enjoyed working for man, but there's no greater joy than service for God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest joy of my life.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Minnie, why don't you share a little bit about your ministry? That is, we know we have been presented with your ministry in the past, so we know that you are involved with, what's the name of it?
The Lord's Food Pantry,
right. Yes. Why did you decide to go forward with that? Because that's an idea that you had and you brought it to us. What drove you to make that presentation?
Well, you know, I love the Lord, and I love doing His work. And I love helping His people. One day I was out just helping a person at a food pantry that she wanted to go out to, and we stood out there for hours just to get food. And I'm thinking, I said, well, you know, I said, Lord, I said, what can I do to help people that come, you know, goes to food banks and stand out for hours and hours in a cold or either hot sun? So, and I brought it, and I said, well, you know, I prayed about it, and I called you, and I said, well, Pastor, well, what can we do to help people that are in need and don't have to stand out in the cold for so in the hot?
Okay, so over time we developed a new ministry, and one thing that goes again and again here that we hear over and over again, it's because of people. You care about people, and that's what I'm hearing from all of you, that you want to make sure things are running smoothly in the church, that things are going well, and that we are reaching people, meeting their needs, whether physical or spiritual needs. And so thank you for sharing that with me, and I think pretty much I want to ask our teacher to come forward, because you have not only, yes, you are our teacher and you are paid to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's all you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Because you're paid for it.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then you can go back.
Okay.
Okay. So tell me, what ministries are you involved with?
I think these people probably want lunch, so... If I said them all, why it'd take a long time.
Okay. Yeah. So she cares about you. So she's going to say to me now, whisper to my ear, Pastor, get this over with. Because she cares about you. She wants you to have lunch.
probably one of the reasons why I'm as involved as I am is because my parents were. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to impress upon all of us is to be inconvenienced as adults because we are being examples for our young people. And if we are not being inconvenienced and working for others, our children are not going to be either.
Amen.
And if you, right now, if you looked at our children, you would see the same thing, that that's what they were taught. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing too.
Mm-hmm. Keep your children involved in service.
That's right.
You know, many parents have regrets because they did not involve their children in service for the Lord, in some kind of service for other people, because that will have a long-term effect.
Right.
Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many others here that have that are involved in ministry. I'd like to see all the officers in the church that have been elected that we have not mentioned yet. If you are an elected officer, just please stand where you are just for a minute. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Thank you for eventually standing up. I appreciate it. And you may all go back to your seats now. And in fact, why don't you stand right down here on the floor right in front of me, because I'm gonna talk to all of us here right now. If you are here today, you may be sitting in the pew, you may not have an office, but you're still part of the kingdom of God, you still love the Lord, and you still have a mission. And that mission involves service to people in your surroundings, service to people in your neighborhood. Leading people to Jesus is our main mission. And that's something that all of us can be involved with. This Monday night, we have a memorial service for Carolyn Harris. Carolyn Harris was involved in our homeless ministry whenever she could. She was also involved in the GLOW ministry, the GLOW tracts. Just putting together the little packages that people can hand out. Every little thing counts. And she cared so much about people. And you will hear more about that Monday night if you come during our sharing time. Caring about people is what it's all about. Because when we care about people, that also means we care about God. Because God created people and he has passion for people. And he wants to see people in his kingdom. And when you love God, that means you also will love people. And so if you are here today and you know that many of you are already involved, you may be sitting down, you may be done in a pew, but you're already involved for God in some way or another. But if you know that your life is not in sync with Jesus' plan for you, I want to invite you to make a decision today to become involved in a small way or in a big way. That's between you and the Lord. And that's something that the leaders of the church can give you counsel on if you ask us. But if you want to be in sync with God's plan for your life, which means in some way or another being involved, why don't you stand where you are? I invite you to stand where you are. And again, if you don't want to be involved in any way whatsoever, just remain seated. But I want to challenge you to stand if you want to be involved in service for God in some way or another at this time. If you are not in sync with God's plan for you, then, of course, that is the first thing. The first thing we may need is to have that walk with God. And I want to challenge you, if you do not yet have that walk with God, to be looking to him and learning about him and studying about him. The thing about God is the more you read his word, the more you study about him, the more you listen to what people say about him, the more you will find what a flawless God we have. And when you find that flawless God, you can't help but learn to love him. And that will lead to a life of service. Christ gave his life for us, and he came here to serve us, and he asked us to serve other people as well and serve him. Now, some of you are not members of this church.
You may be Seventh Adventists from another church, or you may not even be Seventh Adventists yet, but you are Christians. You have given your life to God. And some of you are seekers, and you don't know God, and you don't have any relationship with Him. But you are here because you have been invited, or because you took a wrong turn somewhere. You know, either way, if you need a church home, and if you need to make this your church home, maybe today is the time to do that. To contact someone in this church and say, I want to be part of this church home. I want to learn how to be part of this church home. I want to learn how to be part of God's family, if I'm not already. You know what? God meets you exactly where you are. And He takes you on a tremendous journey, an adventure that you will not regret. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have called us to ministry. Father, there have been times in the past when I've been involved in ministry, and You know, Father, that people have said to me, well, You're the pastor. Of course You're involved. And You know, Father, that I had to think about that. And then I realized as time went by that I was thrilled and happy to be involved in ministry outside my working hours. And You know, I'm living and breathing for Your cause. And Father, I pray that all of us will have that experience of enjoying service for You. I pray that You will speak to every heart here and that You will lead us to make investments. Investments in Your kingdom. Investments in the church. Investments in people. That we might learn what true joy is. Especially be with parents, with little children. Help them to make decisions on behalf of their children that can be a blessing to the children as they grow up. Be with those who are starting a ministry or are getting involved for the first time in some kind of service for You. Encourage them and help them to seek help if necessary. And we thank You, Father, that You've called us to not just minister in this life, but to experience in eternity with You a lifetime, an eternal lifetime of service and ministry to beings from across the universe. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing song at this time, number 572. Give of your best to the Master, number 572.
Please stand.
Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw yourselves for throwing order. To the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was He, young and brave. Give Him your loyal devotion. Give Him the best that you have. Give of your best to the of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, give Him first place in your heart, give Him first place in your soul. Consecrate every part. Given to You shall be given. God His beloved Son gave. Gratefully seek to serve Him.
Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Give of your best for the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above.
Lay down his life without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration.
Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth.
I want to make sure all the deacons and deaconesses are aware that there will be a deacon-deaconess meeting up front on the piano side right after the service. So just go straight up there and you will have a meeting. Dear Father, I pray specifically for all the new officers this year that you will give them wisdom and inspiration to serve in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Help each and every one of us, Father, to strive for excellence for the kingdom of God. I pray for those who don't have an office, that somehow you will find a way to identify each of our ministry, your involvement for your kingdom. Help us to know how we can serve you in such a way that others hear about Jesus. Oh, Father, may the Holy Spirit shine, help us shine for you. And help us to be loving and kind and gentle and faithful and have all the other attributes of the Spirit in our lives that will make a difference in our communities and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.